Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today, we're discussing everything you need to know about emergency funds.
Oh, did I tell you about my free water heater?
No, please tell me.
Are you really interested? You don't sound interested at all.
I love free. And okay. I'm actually curious because a water heater is kind of
something we talked about on the Asking for a Discount episode. We talked about your electric water heater a couple years ago.
That's right. Asking for the discount on the install.
All right.
But so, but getting an actual free water heater.
Yeah, man. Free. It's electric as well.
Woogie woogie.
As soon as I said that, I was just like, damn, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Electric high efficiency water heater. It's like 6 months old. Got that jank for free. So a plumber I know that we've used him before basically was ripping out, redoing the plumbing on a renovation nearby. And they were just told to get rid of this water heater and, you know, basically all the plumbing. And they were looking at it and they realized literally it was only 6 months old and they just felt so bad getting rid of it. And so we thought of who might would want.
Who likes free stuff that I know? The host of the Cheapo podcast. Exactly.
Long story short. Thought of me, came by, dropped it off in my driveway for me, and yeah, literally.
That's service.
Yes, I know. So literally, I wasn't even home, and I came home, and there's like basically a brand new water heater sitting there waiting on me for me to use. And one of our properties coming up here pretty soon.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
That's awesome.
And guess who I'm going to call when it comes time to hook up all the pipes?
That guy.
Yeah, exactly. So,
dude,
win-win. He's happy. Plus, they do awesome work. So yeah, man, pretty sweet deal, huh? You jealous?
Yeah. So just putting this out there.
Believe me, I know you get plenty of deals that I don't get to partake in. So,
well, if there are any plumbers out there that want to give me any water heaters, I'm certainly open to it. I welcome free stuff on my doorstep.
Yeah.
Speaking of free stuff, we're going to our neighborhood beer fest this weekend.
Yeah, man. I'm so stoked.
Dude, it's pretty much the best weekend, one of the best weekends of the year. I'm so excited about it. And I think this is my seventh year doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're an old man.
I know. The great thing about our neighborhood beer fest is that we volunteer, right? And so every year, you and I, we pour beer for the patrons, the people that actually pay money to go to our neighborhood beer festival. The best things are that we raise a ton of money for our neighborhood, right? For our neighborhood organization, which is then able to deploy it in ways to beautify the neighborhood. And
exactly. Yeah. The beer fest falls under the nonprofit. And so the nonprofit supports local neighborhood organizations. And I'm pretty sure one of the recent emails they sent out said they've raised over $1 million in the past 10 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Which is huge for a nonprofit, especially a nonprofit where the majority of their funds are coming from people drinking beer. Making the world a better place, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And so, the other beautiful thing is you and I get to drink beer for free all day.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because if you're pouring beer, you still get to take a little on the side, take some sips. And so that's really fun to get to taste some beers.
A good way to try a lot of new beers. Yeah. Some ones that we've had before too.
Yeah. So, if you guys follow us on Untappd, you might see that we blow it up at the beer fest, this weekend. Oh, and so Matt, I'm also really pumped because we ordered some koozies to distribute there.
Oh yeah.
With our logo on it. I'm really pumped to hand those out and kind of let people know what we're doing here over at Pour Not Pour.
You know, a lot of different neighborhoods have beer fests now as well. And so that's the other thing too. Consider volunteering your own local beer fest. Instead of forking out the money and coming over and seeing us, which would, you know, that'd be awesome. Consider pouring and volunteering with your own local beer fest.
Yeah. And the great thing is it's a blast. It's a fun day. It supports the neighborhood. And on top of that, you save some money to drink beer. Speaking of drinking beer. Today on the show, we're drinking a beer by Avery Brewing Company out of Boulder, Colorado. A really, really, really good brewery. You already know Colorado makes awesome beers, and Avery is one of the best producers even in the state. And today we're drinking a beer called Lilikoi Capolo, and it's a Belgian-style white ale brewed with spices and passion fruit.
Yeah, man, that's pouring that nice kind of cloudy gold, almost like a little bit of ruby. Kind of color there to it.
Yeah, and it's a nice, like, nice ruby and orange. It's got like kind of a grapefruit look to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that fade. So I've had this like once or twice before. You love this beer.
I love this beer.
I am curious to taste it again because last time I had it, I was like, I don't know about this guy.
It comes in six packs and you can get this because Avery's distributed in most states now, I think. So you can probably find this in your local package store. I love the passion fruit. It almost has kind of a smoothie-ish kind of vibe to it with the passion fruit kind of blended up in there. It's tropical, tart, juicy, and delicious.
You know, it does taste a little better than I remember it. It does have those tropical fruits. It kind of makes me think of like a little tropical fruit cup. You know, like as a kid, you know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Yeah, you feel that?
Yeah, like one of the like the Dole pineapple cup thingies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little of sugar.
Yes.
I mean, certainly this isn't crazy sweet like that, but it's got like the token cherry, like just like that one cherry that you're allowed to have in it. Yeah, and it kind of tastes like sliced pineapples that you kind of get as well.
Yeah, it's totally got the pineapple vibe.
Got a lot of throwback flavors from my childhood.
I love the can too. It's a cool color blue with a tiki man on the front. This is a great summer beer. It's light, it's refreshing, it's easy to find.
What's the ABV on this?
5.4.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, you can drink a couple. I totally recommend the Avery Brewing Company, Lilikoi Kapolo. Dang tasty.
What's up with the tiki man? I feel like tiki bars and sort of tiki theme is making a comeback.
Oh, heck yeah.
You think you've noticed that?
Love me a good tiki bar, man.
I think in general, themed restaurants might kind of make a comeback. From, was that like the 70s or the 80s where there's like the themed restaurants?
Yes, and I hope they do. Theme restaurants are so fun.
Yeah, it's like right up your alley.
Yeah.
Did you go to Medieval Times as a kid or like in middle school?
My parents totally took me to Medieval Times and the Dixie Stampede.
Yeah, Dixie Stampede.
In like near Dollywood in Tennessee.
The rhinestone cowboy jumpsuits riding around on the horses.
I distinctly remember chasing chickens on the dirt floor in front of a giant crowd.
What?
With my sisters. Yeah, when we were young at the Dixie Stampede.
So what you saying that makes me picture your children chasing after chickens. And like when you said that, I immediately pictured your girls, not you as a child.
And we're so awkward, and my girls included. And so I would imagine they would fall face
come
first.
Come here, chicken.
Almost immediately. So yeah, it was fun. All right, Matt, topic we're tackling today, everything you need to know about emergency funds.
Yes, emergency funds. This is something we talked about briefly when we did the budgets episode forever ago now. But we decided it's time to do an entire episode on emergency funds because they're just so clutch. They don't get nearly the attention I think that they need and that they deserve. And so that's why we're going to spend an entire episode. We're going to talk about how to get started on your own if you don't currently have one. And hopefully by the end of this, if you don't already have an emergency fund, you'll be well on your way to getting yours set up and running.
Yeah, and first, really, there's a huge problem in the United States. Stats bear out that the majority of Americans couldn't get their hands on $3,000 cash if they had a big car repair that they needed to put money towards. And a lot of Americans also couldn't even come up with $500 cash in the case of a minor emergency. And we live in one of the richest countries in the world. And those facts are kind of startling when it comes down to it, that most people are completely unprepared for an emergency. And that's a huge part of the reason that this episode and what we're going to talk about here with emergency funds is crucial.
Yeah, man. I mean, the problem is if you don't have an emergency fund set up and you face an emergency, well, you're probably going to have to put that expense on a credit card. And that obviously leads to a downward cycle because then you're making payments on that. And then all of a sudden, something that may have only cost $750 in like car repair costs is now costing you, $1,000, $1,200 over time.
Yeah. And in large swaths of America, that's what title loan places do. And payday lenders, they take advantage of people that are in emergency situations and don't have access to any amount of cash really to get out of it and can't wait till payday. And so there are a lot of people living their lives on the margins. And it's not just people living in poverty, but there are a huge portion of Americans making good money, right? And there was a New York Times article that you and I both read.
Oh, yeah.
About a successful dude who had published books and was still
he was an author.
Living paycheck to paycheck and could not seem to get ahead financially. And just because you have a big income, if you're spending just as much or more than you make,
you're still living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, you just live from bigger paycheck to bigger paycheck.
So this is a problem across all income levels in America. We spend more than we make and our emergency funds are nil. And it leads not only to financial hardship, but then emotional and marital and relational stress in our lives.
Yeah, it stresses you out, man. Obviously, we're talking about this from a financial angle, right? We don't have enough margin. We don't have enough cushion in our life. Not only that, though, I feel like we just don't have enough margin in our lives when it comes to time and like the amount of time that we have for other people and those around us in need, just situations where it might take us out of our usual, get up, go to work, make money, come home, or spend money on the way home and then go to sleep and, rinse and repeat. That might be a topic for another episode, but yeah, I don't know. That's just something I wanted to mention.
Yeah, but hopefully while we're discussing the financial aspects of having an emergency fund and what that does to your life, think about, too, where your time goes. And
oh, yeah.
Can you build essentially reservoirs of time that, as opposed to go, 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 you know, busy, 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 creating those reservoirs of time is crucial. And yeah, this podcast, right, we're all about saving money, but we're also about living mindfully. And I think it's just a really important thing to discuss. And not many people are discussing that.
Like, yeah, it goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah, we prop up busyness and getting stuff done. And you know, I'm all about working hard, but there's a downside to the way our culture treats work and the idea of busyness in general.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, what we're going to talk about is the emergency fund. So Joel, do you have an emergency fund?
I sure do, man.
Do you remember always having an emergency fund?
I remember always prioritizing savings.
Right.
And so always building the savings up. And I didn't always call it an emergency fund, you know, when I was in my early 20s, but I was always building my savings level. So I was always prioritizing putting money in my savings account every month and watching it grow. I just wasn't calling it an emergency fund at that point in time.
Yeah, that was kind of my approach. Honestly, that's basically what I did up until I became like a Dave Ramsey junkie when I was like in my early years.
You're like shooting them into your veins? What are you doing?
Yeah, basically.
That's weird, man.
Early on, yeah, I was pretty hardcore. And that's when I was like, no, it's called an emergency fund. This is what we're calling it. And it's got to be, you know, this exact length. It must be this exact dollar amount and, you know, all the rules associated with sort of his approach to things. And
you've kind of calmed down on that a little bit now. And I think that's why interesting, too, because I think there are some hardcore personal finance people that would be like, this is what you need to have. And I think there are some good rules of thumb in what they're saying. But I think there's also a lot of caveats that we'll hit in this episode as well.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of room for flexibility. And a lot of it depends on the individual. It depends on sort of their life stage, where they are in life. And overall, how sort of financially prepared they are for financial events in their life.
So quick tip to people that don't have one at all right now, and they do find themselves in that boat that, oh man, if my transmission went out tomorrow or if I lost my job next week, I have no idea where I'm going to get money. I'm going to be using high interest rate debt, right? I'm going to be going to the payday lender or using
that credit card,
tapping my credit card, right? Really, for people like that, their first goal, the necessity right now is to start saving little by little and accruing an emergency fund of $500 to $1,000. That's a goal that's feasible, that's reachable if you have income, and that's ultimately the first goal that needs to be set. Reaching a level like that, where at least you could meet some sort of financial distress without having to tap into some sort of high interest rate revolving debt, that's a really good first goal to have in mind.
Yeah, if you don't hear anything else, just go do that. Like, if you got to cut the episode off now, go ahead and just make sure you write that down. And yeah, I agree.
No, wait, I have lots more to say.
And we'll say it. There's a lot more to cover because it varies. But yeah, that's the first thing. So
most definitely.
So Joel, first off, so essentially, what is an emergency fund?
So an emergency fund is essentially a savings account that's separate money only used for major financial emergencies. And typically, the amount that you would want stored in an emergency fund would be 3 to 6 months of your core expenses. And ultimately, what that means is, let's say you did lose your job, you could pay the mortgage, you could put food on the table, you could keep the lights on for 3 to 6 months while you're looking for work.
Yeah, so what's important to point out there, though, is that that's like the emergency, right? So what the emergency was in that situation wasn't paying for groceries. It was the job loss,
right,
to cover the regular expenses. And some other situations where it might call for the emergency fund, right? Say you've got a higher deductible on your car insurance, which we would recommend to keep your monthly expenses down, because it's not likely that you're going to get in an accident. But if you do and you have a higher deductible, say $1,000 is totally reasonable to have. You're going to need to find $1,000 to put towards your vehicle if you know if it's totaled.
Yeah, and you'll save big money every year by having a higher deductible on your homeowner's insurance. And hopefully, you know, the goal is never to have to use it. But if a tree falls on the corner of your house, causes major damage, and you know, goes through the bathroom, and you got to have a new roof put on and a whole new bathroom installed, then $5,000 deductible is...
That's a lot of money, man.
That's an emergency right there, yeah. Right? And so an emergency fund is great for something like that, whether it's a small fix that you can do yourself without insurance, or whether it's just a high deductible that you have to meet. Having that emergency fund for situations like that, of these extenuating circumstances that you know can happen but are unlikely and you're hoping and praying don't happen, I mean, that's exactly what the emergency fund is for. The things that you want to stay away from, that what an emergency fund is not for, it's not for putting new tires on your car.
Right.
It's not for routine bills. It's not for paying for groceries when you currently are employed, right? So the emergency fund, you want to kind of keep that separate, and you don't want to use it for some of these things that you really should be budgeting for.
Yes.
It's for that unexpected, really.
Yeah, all those things you should be budgeting for. There's things, even if it happens not even just once a year, but say once every few years, there are certain expenses that you just need to be looking ahead to and planning, not only every year how much to set aside for it, but literally every month to break that down and to know how much you need to set aside. I mean, that's what it takes. That's what it takes, planning. That way, when the bill comes due, you're prepared. And it's not an emergency at that point because it's something that you can plan on.
All right. And so by the very definition of emergency, it's an urgent need, right? And so emergency funds do need to be accessible and fairly liquid. So if that's the case, Matt, that means that your emergency fund, and we'll get into some caveats later, but that it should probably be in a savings account, earning a decent rate of interest, and preferably even a savings account that is separate from the one that you normally use.
Yeah, man. So for us, we actually have our emergency fund set aside in our savings account. So currently we have most of our money in Ally Bank, where we have our sort of day-to-day expenses, monthly expenses come out of our checking account, but then our actual emergency fund chunk is sitting there in the savings account because that's where we're earning the high interest rate.
Yeah, and hopefully your emergency fund is going to be a decent chunk, and so you do want to find a high interest rate of savings. That's the best place to store it. You definitely don't want to put an emergency fund in a 401k, right? Because then you're subject to the whims of the stock market and it's not liquid cash. You want to have in a bank account. And by the way, I recently opened a new account with a bank called CIT, and they pay a lot more than what my bank Capital One was paying. And so I went from 1% to 1.7. And so yeah, for a large chunk of change, right? Earning a little bit more every month is where it's at. And there's an article on the website just kind of comparing and talking about my experience switching, if you want to check that out.
So that being said too, if you're just more of a nerd, it's not necessary that you have your emergency fund in a completely separate account. If you're able to create a floor, you know, or like a blind that you never kind of dip down into, I mean, that's your emergency fund. It doesn't necessarily have to be a completely separate thing because a lot of times it just gets complicated. And so, and that's the last thing we want is for you listeners to not do this because you're like, ugh, I don't want to have to open up another account. I'm just happy with whoever I have.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of how I approach it. I kind of keep everything in the same fund. I think it's important probably for a lot of people to have a second fund. Just it helps mentally. But
more barriers and sort of walls, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know it's like kind of untouchable or whatever. But for people that, you know, do have like their financial act together, creating a separate account certainly isn't necessary. And just knowing that there's a floor that you don't go beneath is like a really helpful way of doing it.
Cool. So that's the first thing. Consider opening a separate account, or if you know that you're an ultra nerd, create that blind, start socking that money away that you know you're not going to touch.
Yeah, the next thing to do is, let's say you don't have one or you're kind of a noob, right, at starting this emergency fund. Well, first, know that anybody can do it, and then we'll kind of give you a couple tips to get started. My favorite way to actually big time jumpstart, electrify your emergency fund is to use a tax refund to do that. And so a lot of people probably just recently got their tax refunds. We talked about in an earlier episode what to do with a tax refund. And that was one of the things we mentioned. Using that refund to jumpstart your emergency savings is an awesome way to handle that money. So if you have yours still lingering around, you haven't blown it all on, you know, fancy craft beer or a trip to Fiji, consider putting some of that money aside into an emergency fund. Save for the future, save for a rainy day, create some of that margin in your life and reduce some of that stress that comes along, the stress and headaches that come along with not having an emergency fund set up.
Yeah, I see no better way to spend that tax refund than to relieve stress. You know, what better way than just to simplify things and to just take stuff off of your mind that you don't have to worry about nearly as much?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got your financial act together, an infusion of cash like a tax refund can be used for a lot of great things. But if you don't and your emergency fund's starved right now, that's the perfect place to put that chunk of money. And another thing to consider selling some things. Maybe have an eBay night at your house and list a bunch of stuff that you don't need anymore and that you think is valuable to others. Maybe a yard sale on a Saturday in your neighborhood or a side gig for just a few months. Whatever it takes really to kind of bolster that and give you a little bit of a financial cushion it's worth it to do a little bit of extra work in order to kind of create that margin in your life. You know, living life where you have no idea what you would do if an emergency popped up tomorrow, that's just a hard way to live. And so those are just a few ideas to kind of help you maybe get started and prepare yourself for that potential emergency.
Yeah, so the reason it's good to sort of jumpstart it, right, is that it's just hard work. It can take a long time to get even that $500 to $1,000 set aside. But even longer, man, if you're looking at 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses, that really can take a long time. So it's especially helpful if you can, like you said, get that sort of infusion. Tax refund's great for that. It's not free money, but it kind of feels like free money. And if you can just take that and apply that towards your emergency fund, any way to sort of jumpstart that and get the ball rolling to where you can kind of pile on top of that. Because even if you're setting aside $100 a week, I mean, you're looking at a little over $5,200 for the year. And for some folks, that's only a month or two worth of living expenses, you know? Like, that doesn't get you very far. And $100 a week is really tough. So yeah, being able to kind of jumpstart it like that, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes hearing the financial experts say, you need 6 months of an emergency fund. For most folks, they hear that. I think they tune out just because that seems like an insurmountable goal.
It's a huge amount of money for a lot of folks.
It's a tough thing. Like for dudes like us that have our financial act together, 6 months just feels like right this big daunting thing. Like how long would it take us, you know, from scratch right now to save up 6 months of our income? And I think a lot of people tune that out. And so that's why I want to encourage people just to start small. You know, take a step in the right direction. Start saving $25 a week. Whatever it takes, like figure out how you can do that, what you can cut out of your life. Make sure that if you've spent the one for this year, like that you save next year's tax refund. Whatever it takes, you want to start somewhere. Because if you just hear that 6 month mark and you say, screw that, that's not possible for me, and you decide to scrap the emergency fund altogether, well, ultimately, in the end, that's just going to cause you more stress every month. And when the emergency does come along, dude, that's going to be really hard to stomach, and it's going to hurt you even more in the long run.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about then how much to set aside, right? We talked about the 3 to 6 months. That's sort of a general guideline that we hear a lot. I think the biggest thing that people need to do is consider their life stage. Somebody that's straight out of college, that doesn't have a lot of responsibilities, that doesn't have a lot of, say, assets or things that they need to keep up with, chances are they don't need quite as much money set aside.
Yeah, and let's say they can move home with mom and dad at a moment's notice if something happens, right? They kind of have a fallback plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that means, you know what? You can point your money a little more towards your 401k or investing than straight up just saving for a rainy day. And while that's still important to do, just because of that specific life stage, you can afford for that to be less of a priority.
Yeah, there's just less pressure on you, right? Like if you don't have kids, you don't have a spouse, if you don't have a home where there's things that you need to fix or replace, there's just less pressure on you financially. And you look at that from the other side of the coin. Say you're like us, you know, we've got houses, we've got a family, we've got kids, we've got vehicles. There's a lot that can break. There's a lot that can, you know, go wrong, and things that might need to be repaired.
Like your car or a kid's arm.
Exactly. Both can break. Both of those things will cost money. When you're spread out like that, it's helpful to have, I think, maybe more set aside. Essentially, the more responsibility you have, I think you might need to look at maybe considering being closer to that 6 month worth of expenses set aside. That's still a lot of money. And you also want to consider how much of a like safety net you want to sort of create for yourself, because essentially that's what this is. You're sort of setting this thing up in case something were to happen.
Yeah, I think another important consideration is, are you a dual income household or a single income household? True. So if you are the only worker in your home, there is definitely a higher necessity for having an emergency fund. If you're a two income household and one of you loses your job and you can still pay the basic necessities on that one income, creating an emergency fund is still a really good idea, but not nearly as much of a necessity.
And so another option to consider too is, once you essentially have like a portfolio built up, and specifically you've been contributing to a Roth IRA, that's something you can draw on. You can withdraw contributions to your Roth IRA without penalty, without paying tax. And that's something that you can sort of draw on, like you kind of tap that in case there's emergencies. So I wouldn't use that completely and solely as like your emergency fund, but to be able to know that that's sort of there as a backup provides some peace of mind as well.
I agree. If you've been investing in a Roth IRA up to the limit for the last 8, 10, 12 years, and you've built up a sizable amount in there, I think it's okay to carry a much smaller emergency fund of, let's say, 1 month's expenses. Because let's say the...
Dude, 1 month is kind of lean.
It is lean.
Yeah.
But let's say, you know, something does happen, a job loss, or, you know, which is probably, you know, one of the most difficult things that can happen, or, right, or a huge medical issue. If you have six figures in a Roth IRA, you, of course, can still only withdraw the money that you've contributed over the years. But if you've been maxing that out over a decade, that's over $50,000 that you have access to that you can pull out tax and penalty free. And that essentially works as a really nice emergency fund. And so you can have less of your money sitting there in a savings account earning less than 2% and hopefully working for you for the long run, especially if you're in a two-income household and you have substantial investments built up in something like a Roth where it is partially liquid in that way. I think it's completely reasonable to have only 1 month of emergency fund in an actual savings account and put most of your money there. And so I don't know what percentage of our listeners are in a position like that, but I think that's something to strive for as well, that over time, as your investments build up, as you're maxing out a Roth and contributing to your retirement in that way, that, you know what, you don't necessarily have to, when you're 45, 50 years old and you get this substantial amount built up, that you still have to have 6 months of your expenses in a savings account.
Yeah, that's worth considering, man. So my biggest concern with that is pulling, like, the potential of pulling that money out if you need it. Obviously, yes, only during an emergency. But if you pull that out during a downturn in the market, you're losing money essentially at that point because you're pulling money out of the market that instead, if you know, were you to leave in, would turn around and continue growing down the road.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Roth IRA strategy is really important to consider only if you are financially stable, only if you have your financial ducks in a row. If you have been investing in a Roth IRA up to the, you know, up to or close to the max for at least a decade, to where you've really built up a substantial amount of savings in there, where you would only need to tap a small portion of it. And then also, it's best suited for people that probably live in a dual income household where, let's say they were to lose one income, they wouldn't need to tap the emergency fund right away. So it's this good strategy, it's this good reserve to have. And to know that's there so that you can have more of your money working for you as opposed to just in traditional savings that isn't earning all that much right now. But you certainly don't want to put all your eggs in that basket, and making sure that it's almost like a secondary emergency, right? So,
right.
So if you are a dual income family, you lose one job, it has to almost be another emergency on top of that that forces you to tap into that. So that's where I think the Roth IRA can come in, and you can actually hopefully over the long term earn more on your emergency fund in a Roth. And again, that's not in exclusion to a savings account with an emergency fund in it. But I think at that point, if you've been doing it over the long term, you can really consider having a smaller amount in a savings account, probably more like 1 to 2 months of expenses in a savings account, as opposed to that traditional 3 to 6 number that the personal finance people throw around.
So I mentioned too that having invested, I guess, for that 10-year period, you're also investing at ups and downs in the market. So essentially you get to kind of dollar cost average over that entire period. So you're not only going in at the bottom or only going into the top. It's not a huge deal because you're averaging out all of your investment purchases. And that's something you want to see as well. Because yeah, if you were just to go in all at once, if you were even able to with you know, with your Roth, it could be more detrimental were you to pull it all out at a single point in time.
Yeah, I agree. And to say one more time, it is an emergency fund, right? So your goal is to never tap it. And if you are in a strong financial position, a Roth can be a great kind of side plan so that you don't have to have quite as much in just traditional savings. But ultimately, your goal is to never, ever, ever tap that money and just let it grow tax-free for retirement. It's this emergency fund that you hope you never have to use, and you desperately try to never tap.
Man, so those are a lot of the steps on like what to do, right? So how to basically create your emergency fund. A question that kind of comes up often is, when do I fully fund that emergency fund? Like, when do I start really setting aside the money and creating that chunk of money? Specifically, do I do that before I pay off debt? And the answer to that, I think, comes down to what kind of debt it is. And so if you're looking at something that is a higher interest rate, like specifically credit cards, or you know, something maybe worse, like a payday loan or something like that, you 100% want to pay that off first.
So let's say you've got $10,000 in your savings account and you've got a credit card at a 22% interest rate. Well, I don't want to deplete my emergency fund, but here's the thing. you put that $10,000 to paying off your 22% interest rate debt. Well, if a $2,000 emergency comes along, well, it sucks, but you use the credit card that you already had money on, right? Like that you already had a balance on. It's just a smaller balance at that point. So while you never want to have to put money on a credit card in case of an emergency, it only makes sense that you would eliminate debt that's at an incredibly high rate of interest before you really start putting money away in your emergency fund.
And keep in mind too that we're talking about high interest rate products here. We're not talking about your mortgage that has a nice 30-year fixed rate, and we're not talking about low interest rate car loans. Hopefully you don't have a car loan, but if you already do, that's not what we're talking about. If you've got something that's in the single digits, something that's close to 5 or 6%, that's not terrible. And so you definitely want to pay off balances that have rates above that. But otherwise, the emergency fund, that's your priority. That's what you want to focus on building up. At the very least, like we said earlier, that $500 to $1,000. But ultimately, you want to consider more than that. You know, you want to consider one, two, three. If you like to be a little more conservative, like or even 6 months, that might be the point at which you feel comfortable. And if that's the case, then that's fine. That's great. You're going to be well prepared for any potential financial hardships that come along.
Just because you heard us say 6 months doesn't mean that you shouldn't start at all, because it seems like too big, too lofty of a goal. That's why we're kind of trying to show you these tiers that exist, and you don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to do it all within a year's time, but attempt first to get the 500 and then the 1,000 and then the 1 month of your expenses. Just because you can't get to 6 months in a short period of time doesn't mean you shouldn't start at all.
This isn't something that's going to happen overnight. You know, this is something that might take a year or even 2 years to kind of get to the point at which you feel comfortable. And again, this is personal finance. So this varies from person to person. It varies from family to family. It's something that you might need to talk about with your spouse or your significant other. It's going to vary, and it's up to you to decide at what point you feel comfortable.
But ultimately, the major goal is to create some margin in your life. There are so many people living on the edge with no access to almost any emergency fund at all, and the slightest hardship comes along, and they don't know what to do. And so an emergency fund is really important for dealing with those emergencies that pop up. But even more than that, for eliminating stress in your life, having a little bit of cash in the bank that's sitting there and that you know can help you should something arise, man, that provides a lot of peace of mind. And peace of mind isn't really something that money can buy. But in this regard, when it comes to emergency funds, boy, having that small chunk at least, that base, really can alleviate a lot of that financial stress that the majority of Americans feel.
Okay, man, beer time. I do like this better than the first time I had it. It's still not like my favorite. I think if I'm going to have a Belgian like this, I either want it kind of nice and white, just real clean and fresh, without the fruit flavors added to it, or like the Curio like we had last week, if it was barrel aged, where it adds like a layer of richness and complexity to it. I think I'm more into that.
I was hoping I could convert you today to loving this beer as much as I do, but you know what? It wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, man, I'm not knocking this at all. I do like this beer. I will drink this 100% at the beach. You know, it's that kind of beer. Just not my kind of like my everyday go-to.
I feel you. Well, Lilikoi Kapolo from Avery Brewing Company. Apparently, there are mixed reviews on Pour Not Pour.
All right, man. Let's wrap this up. Let's do a quick recap. The biggest reason why an emergency fund is necessary is because we have very little financial margin in our lives. Most people live paycheck to paycheck. And when that's the case, literally, once that paycheck stops, you have an entire month of expenses coming up that you are not prepared for.
Yeah, so you might need to start small. Saving up just $500 or $1,000 in the beginning can really help alleviate some of that pressure. Don't let that 3 to 6 month figure throw you and keep you from starting an emergency fund at all. Even though that's a good goal to have over the long term, know that it takes time.
Yeah, what's important to keep in mind is that this is a personal decision, right? It's going to vary from person to person, and it just depends on what dollar amount you feel comfortable having in the bank, sitting there ready to go, were there to be an emergency. Yeah, so the biggest thing is to make sure that you don't have it with one of the big banks. We're talking specifically about Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, the guys that don't pay anything. That's not where you want your emergency fund.
Hopefully it's a big chunk of money that you're setting aside over time, and you want it actually to be earning something for you. And at the big banks, it's 0.01% interest.
Which is insane.
Which is pennies every month.
Yeah, the banks that we use currently, we're earning close to 2%, you know, these days, which is awesome.
All right, Matt, that's it for emergency funds.
Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. As always, we'll have show notes up there for you. for this episode.
Cheers, buddy.
Yeah, man. Best friends out.
Best friends out.